Good morning. We'd like to welcome everyone to our 8 o'clock service at Jenkins this morning. Let's start with standing up and welcoming each other. Meet your neighbor. Tell them good morning. Walk across the aisle. Say hello to somebody you hadn't seen in a while. Good morning. Good morning. Okay, if you'll open your bulletin to the announcements, there's a kitchen committee meeting in the kitchen at 10 o'clock this morning. I'll just let you, I kind of highlighted some of the ones. There's Kids for Christ this afternoon. This is for ages, children ages 5 through 5th grade. It's at 5 o'clock this afternoon in the gym. Our church picnic and ice cream social is going to be Sunday, September 10th at 11:30, right after the worship service. I guess it's here. It's here, right?
Yes.
Okay, it's going to be here. We're going to start back our Wednesday night dinner and 6:45 p.m. worship and praise service on Wednesday, September 13th. And if you've never come to our dinner and praise service, I invite you to come. It really is. We have a really good time of fellowship at dinner, and the worship and praise service is very relaxed and more contemporary, and it's a very uplifting experience. We usually have lay speakers, so it's people in the congregation that bring the message, or you know, anybody that wants to come in and do the message. And it's very uplifting, and I would invite everybody to attend that if you haven't done it before. Saturday, September 23rd from 10 to 3 is our Carnival for Kids. Saturday, November 18th is going to be our Holiday Bazaar. I cannot believe it's almost time for another Holiday Bazaar. And then anybody that ordered Jenkins t-shirts in May to benefit the youth mission trip, they're here. So you need to see Susan following worship or make arrangements to pick up your t-shirts with her. Okay, we go to our prayer and praise request.
One more.
Okay,
on ordination service. How many of you have been to an ordination service for a minister? One, two, a handful. Okay, there will be one at Mount Pleasant this evening at 6 o'clock. Jason Heidel, we will meet there. Tommy Joe will help. I will help. Sam will help. Pastor from Lewisburg, pastor from Mount Joy, and a layperson from Mount Pleasant. And we will go there at 6 o'clock and ordain Jason to the full work of gospel ministry, as we call it, or the ministry of word and sacrament. And then we will install him as pastor of the Mount Pleasant Church. It will be an experience that would be hopefully informative, educational, and supportive to a young minister starting out in his first church. God bless you.
Jason has been very involved in youth camps and youth work. So a lot of the youth have met him at camps. They call him Snake, is his nickname. So we're taking, for our youth tonight, we're going to meet here at the church at 4:45. And we've got a van, and we're going to drive to Mount Pleasant for Jason's ordination because we want to support him in his ministry. So any of the youth that are interested in going with us tonight, you need to let Susan know so that we make sure that we've got enough room for everybody. Okay, we go to our prayer list. Do we have any prayer requests, praises?
Her father lives in an area there, and my aunt is Doris Sutton. That's what it is today.
Okay. What was her name?
Doris Sutton.
Anyone else?
No. Pat Filbert.
better. Right. What age is the children's choir? Any age? Okay. Okay. Thank you, Susanna. We had a praise. Jeff's mom announced that we found out she had breast cancer, and she started chemo 2 weeks ago, but they did a special scan, a PET scan, to see if the cancer had spread, and it is just contained to her breast area. So that was a praise for us, and she seems to be doing well in chemo, so keep her in your prayers. We also have kids starting college for the first time and kids going back to college, and let's keep them in our prayers. Let's keep everyone in our prayers that has started back to school the last couple of weeks. Youth are always high on my prayer list because I've got to. So let's keep them in our prayers. Anybody else? Okay, if you'll see the prayer list in the bulletin and use it in your prayers this week, we pause a moment for a silent prayer, preparing our hearts for that of worship and welcoming Jesus, the light of the world, with the lighting of the candles. Hallelujah. Christ is risen. The Lord, it is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Okay, the call to worship this morning is Psalm 47, 6 through 7. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing to Him a psalm of praise. Our opening song is I Will Sing of My Redeemer, page 506 in your hymnal.
I will sing of my Redeemer and His wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross He suffered, from the curse to set me free. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer. With His blood He purchased me. On the cross He sealed my pardon, made the dead and made me free. I will tell the wondrous story, how my lost estate to save. In His boundless love and mercy, He the ransom freely gave. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer, with His blood He purchased me. On the cross He sealed my pardon, paid the debt and made me free.
The last verse.
I will sing of my Redeemer and His heavenly love to me. He from death to life had brought me, Son of God, with Him to be. Sing, oh sing, oh my Redeemer,
bring thee my pardon. Pay the debt and make me free.
Let us pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we come to sing of you and we come to sing to you. Lord, we come thanking you for coming and redeeming us and your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we just praise your name and we just are humble before you. We want to be your people, glorifying you with what we say and what we do. And every aspect of this experience here that we call worship, but also, Lord, out in the world. We know that it's a useless thing to talk of serving you here if we can't take it out to the world. So, Lord, enable us to do that. Let us not leave it behind. Lord, we pray that you would teach us today, but also so direct our hearts that we can give glory to you and offer thanksgiving and praise. And we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated.
Turning your hymnals to hymn 585. Pay attention to the words. I think the tune will be familiar to most of us.
Reverend, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. We do pray with all your power while we try to preach the word. All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Bread and pray and holy manna will be showered all around. Let us love our God supremely, let us love each other too. Let us love and pray for sinners till our God makes all things new. Then he'll call us home to heaven, at his table we'll sit down. Christ who gird himself and serve us with sweet manna all around.
All righty. You can say. Got a call this week from Kim Glasscock. She was supposed to sing today, so you'll have to suffer through me. This is a special request today, so. Ready or not, here it comes.
Well, old Buddha was a man, I'm sure that he meant well. But I pray for his disciples, lest they wind up in hell. And I know that old Mohammed, he thought he knew the way. But it won't be Hare Krishna, we stand before on the judgment day. No, it won't be old Buddha, that's sitting on the throne. And it won't be old Mohammed, that's calling us home. And it won't be Hare Krishna, who plays that trumpet tune. Cause we're going to see the sun, not the reverend moon. Now I don't hate anybody, so please don't take me wrong. But there really is a message in this here little simple song. You see, there's only one way, and that's Jesus. If eternal life is your goal, meditation of the mind It won't save your soul, no, it won't be old Buddha that's sitting on the throne. And it won't be old Mohammed that's a calling us home. And it won't be Hare Krishna that plays that trumpet tune, 'cause we're going to see the sun, not the raging moon. You might call yourself a Baptist, not being born again, Presbyterian or a Methodist, you might still die in your sin. Now you see, there's only one way, because if you hate your brother, you ain't gonna get there. Yeah, you might even be charismatic. It won't be a Baptist that's a-sitting on the throne. A Presbyterian or a Methodist won't be calling us home. And it won't be a charismatic that plays that trumpet tune. So let's all just live for Jesus. He's coming back real soon. Oh, it won't be old Buddha that's a-sitting on the throne. And it won't be old Mohammed that'll call us home. And it won't be Hare Krishna that plays that trumpet tune. And we're going to see the sun and not the red and blue. Yes, we're going to see the sun and not the red and blue.
Anybody want to buy a rose?
Thank you, Sam. Okay, we're going to do our offertory at this time. If the ushers will come forward. The offertory sentence. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is giving, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully.
Righteous and holy God, you have given each of us gifts. We call them dominant gifts. But you have called us all to be involved in other aspects of the work. We come now to a time of giving. Lord, we know that this is the special gift, the Psalms are the dominant gift, but others, it's not their strong point that you've called us to participate. Thank you for your gifts. And so direct our hearts that the material gifts that you have blessed us with can be distributed in a manner that would glorify you from individuals and through the church. In Christ's name, amen. creature, hear me low. Praise and love our heavenly Lord. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Let's all turn in our hymnals again. Turn to hymn 529. Let's sing the first and last verses. There's been several studies at the church here that have been popular in all Christendom, as Experiencing God was one, and Rick Warren's Purpose-Driven Life. They all talk about having a personal, loving relationship with God and Jesus. So do we really love Him? Oh, how I love Him. 24.
There is a name I love to hear, I love to sing His word. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me. It tells of one whose loving heart can fill my deepest woe. Who any sorrow bears a part that God can carry low. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus.
Our scripture lesson this morning comes from Luke 6:46-49 and Ephesians chapter 5 verses 8 through 2. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? I will show you what he is like who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. He is like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. Ephesians 5. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Be very careful, then and now, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Hebrews. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, His body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The word of God for the people of God.
Praise be to God.
Hymn now, if you will, please, to hymn 520. This is a different version of the hymn Redeemed. I think it'll be familiar to most of us, but let's just sing the first verse. On the top of that page, though, is the chorus of a song by the Gaithers called Something Beautiful. I can never look at that or sing that song without remembering that years and years ago, Brother Ronnie Pittenger and I went to the rescue mission downtown. He was preaching, and he asked me to go sing, and I sang that song, which it does have verses. This is only the chorus. And we videotaped the service, and there was a young member of the church in the back videotaping, so he had a close-up of me while I was singing. Well, right over there on my right, a fight broke out in the middle of me singing that song. And so on the video camera, I'm looking like this and singing. So I can never forget that. Redeemed.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy, His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy, His child and forever I am.
For me, it was the message. It's a Bible written, paraphrased, in about 1993. And Mr. Peterson, Eugene Peterson, did it. And he even left out the verses. I think he got the chapters in, but left out the verse numbers. Actually, when the Bible started, they didn't have the divisions. They'd have a book, but they didn't have divisions of chapters and verses. And Peterson wrote it like a story. And I wanted to quote one verse to you today. So I brought that to show you that I was quoting correctly. Maybe I brought it for that reason. Not even sure. We started some weeks ago talking about what pleases the Lord and what honors Jesus and what God wants us to do. So today I come with the title, More, on living to honor Jesus. How do we honor Jesus and what things honor Him? We've talked about the Bible being full of instruction on how we can live lives that would honor Jesus. There's an outline somewhere. If I got here with mine, maybe I did and maybe I didn't. I wanted it before me. I think I have everything from last week here, maybe. August the 27th at the top. Incidentally, we'll go back to using the Lord's Prayer and the Creed in the worship service next week. Ephesians 5:17
I even put that as a text. Don't live carelessly, unthinkingly. Make sure you understand what the Master wants. The NIV says, make sure you understand the will of God. Make sure you understand what our Master wants. Also, and that was the Message version. Ephesians 5:10 says, or reads, figure out what will please Christ. Figure out what will please Christ and then do it. Or find out what pleases the Lord. Find it out. And if we know it, it comes second that we do it. Is that true? Okay. Hopefully so. There are many situations in life that I don't know what to do. That is because, in so many cases, there are two right choices. Do I drink Coke or Sprite? If it's Diet Coke, do I do away with the sugar or do I do away with the caffeine? Maybe both of either one of them would be wrong in some people's thinking, in some people's mind. Or do I have as my beverage coffee? Or do I have tea? Does it matter? Who cares except me? Maybe it depends on the weather outside or the weather inside. Choices of automobile. Does it matter? Does God care what kind of automobile that I drive? Could it be, it could be a Ford product, and I think he'll be just as pleased with me. I know a lot of preachers who drive Fords. Or could it be a GM product? I know a lot of people, preachers that drive GMs. Could it be an American-made car or American company car, a company that made, that is based in the United States? Or could it be a car manufactured by a company out of the country? Does it matter? Does Jesus care? Does God care? Could it be a Chrysler Daimler? Now there's one, a combination, right? United States company and a German company, I believe. Or could it be a Nissan or a Toyota or a Honda? Does it matter? Maybe 6 to 12 right choices there. I don't know what to do. Just flip a coin or where you get the best deal. But in other situations, there are other situations, what is right and what is wrong is as clear as the nose on my face. Well, almost. That's pretty clear, is it not? Example, whether or not to rob a bank. Well, the answer is no, we don't rob banks. It's dangerous for the robber. It's dangerous for the people in the bank if you have a gun. And we're not to steal. Do not steal. Thou shalt not steal. Simple. We know. We've been taught since we were children, don't take what don't belong to you. It's wrong to rob banks. Whether or not to hit my little sister or my big sister. And I still feel guilty over some of the times that I forgot that. Threw a wet corn cob at my sister. Hit her in the small of the back. That didn't do too well after Mother knew about that. To be a bully. Is it right or wrong to be a bully? And it's wrong to be a bully, to push other people around. If you're on the bully side, not the bully, on the receiving side of the bully, it's, you know how wrong it is. Is it right or wrong to hate our neighbor? It's wrong to hate our neighbor. The Bible teaches that, plain as day. Even our enemies.
or to scream at the clerk at McDonald's when they mess up your order. Sometimes we feel that we are justified in doing it, but those folks, they make mistakes. If we were working there, we probably would too. So it's wrong to scream at the clerk at McDonald's. The list goes on. Help a elderly lady across the street. That's the Boy Scout thing, is it not? It's the right thing to do if she wants to go across the street. Maybe she just wants to go down the street. Or to be kind to your neighbor. That's right. Or give food to the hungry. Is that right or wrong? Is there any question in your mind? Ben called up Friday. He said, we ate green beans yesterday. We don't have anything. He don't even have the green beans today. What am I going to do? What would you do? When I talked to him about going to work, when you're broke, a good place to go is work. But also gave him a voucher to go to the store with. And then I got the feeling so bad, I took him. Did I do right? I'm convinced I did. If you can prove that I didn't, I'd like to see it. I'd like for you to see your proof. Give food to the hungry. The right thing to do. And the wrong things not to do. They are written for us in plain English. And for the Spanish-speaking people, they're written in Spanish. And for the Russian-speaking people, they're written in Russian. Whatever our language. Be Japanese. I remember what, I think it was Mark Twain said, and I may not even quote it right though. People talked to him about the parts of the Bible that he didn't understand. He said, you know, I don't worry about too much about those parts that I don't understand. He said, it's those parts that I do understand that I haven't been living by that bother me a lot. Was that Twain that said that? Somewhere I picked that up. Not so concerned with that parts that I don't understand because we haven't mastered those parts that we do understand. That's what bothered him, and it should bother us. Continuing with last week, or from last week, and the week before, with the thought of living as God teaches, or living to honor Jesus, we might also call this message, doing what is right. Doing what is right. I'm going to call your attention to Hebrews 10, 19 through 25. Hebrews 10, 19 through 25, and I want you to go down to the last verse. I want you to go down to 25. And it's on the outline. It's first. Gathering with other believers. Gathering with other believers. I can't remember all the times that I've been told or I've heard, I can worship just as good at home, or I can worship just as good in the woods, or I can worship just as good somewhere else as I can as at church. Well, maybe so. But my question is, my thought is, but do you worship there? Are you honoring God? Are you glorifying God? Are you singing to God? Are you serving God there? Are you serving yourself? And why not both? Why not meet with God's people, fellow Christians, and then another day, spend some time in the woods and worship Him there. Private. We need public worship and we need private worship. But this verse says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, or don't abandon your meeting together with other Christians, your church attendance. Sure, you can worship other places, but do you? The Bible plainly tells us, to meet with other believers, unite our voices in worship. It tells us this in plain words. Hebrews 10:25. Folks, be faithful in your church attendance. That's what it says. That's what it's saying. Some people had quit in the first century church. They said, well, we don't need the gathering. The people there I don't like, I guess. Or people there don't suit me. Person said the other day, they heard on the radio. The preacher said, if there are things at church that bother you, just stay at home. I guess did he add, and send me your dollars? This is not talking about giving to the church. It just says, don't stop meeting there. Okay, you got the plain words that tell us this, but you got examples. The great revival of Acts chapter 2. Wow, where there's 3,000 converted. Can you see Peter going around and preaching 3,000 different sermons? To get all this conversion? 3,000 contacts in one day. The people came together and Peter stood up and preached to them, and 3,000 of them were saved. Their sins were forgiven. They trusted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Acts chapter 20. This is a good one. The Apostle Paul was about to leave the community, and he called the people together for a worship service or a preaching service before he left. He couldn't go to house to house. One boy came in and sat in the window. The window was open. And Paul preached on and on and on, and he preached till midnight. The boy went to sleep and fell out the window. I don't know if that's a lesson, don't preach past to midnight, or don't preach long sermons, or is it don't sit in the window? If you do, don't go to sleep. Who has a responsibility there? The boy may have had a responsibility to keep awake and slap himself if he was about to go to sleep or get up and walk a little bit. I don't know. Maybe Paul had the responsibility not to preach such a long sermon, or maybe such a dry sermon. But the danger came to the boy. He fell out the window. They thought he was dead, but Paul revived him with the power of God. Old Testament, Psalm 100 calls us to worship. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Come into His presence with singing. When we meet, there is praise. Praise to God. When we meet, there are prayers. When we meet, there is the reading of the Word. You've heard the reading. This was our long scripture lesson, wasn't it? Did you hear us though? The reading of the Word from two letters and the Gospel. We didn't get a New Testament, Old Testament lesson. There is the expounding on the Word. That's what the preaching is. The explaining the Word, or expounding on it, or applying the Word. Meet together, Christians. That's one thing that the Master wants. Make sure you understand what the Master wants, what God wants. He wants His Christians to come and meet together. That pleases Christ also. Teens, they get to a certain age, they drop out. They don't think they need the church anymore. They're bored, they're anxious, they're impatient, they're fidgety. Teens, remember, that's what the Master wants. You can meet with fellow Christians. You don't outgrow a church meeting or a Sunday school meeting when you get 17 or 18 or 16. The second point is draw near to God. Verse 22, going backwards here. James also talks about drawing near to God. He says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. There's some responsibility on our part to approach God.
James is also talking about the devil. It says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. If he can't get your attention, he don't have any time for you. He'll go ahead and find somebody that he can bother or hinder or destroy. Draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. James chapter 4 verse 8. Verse 7 says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God. I don't know of a better place to draw near to God than in the church. Are we drawn near to God in a Sunday school class? We can do it at home and hopefully do our bedtime prayers, our getting up prayers, our prayers as we're driving down the road, our prayers wherever we are, where we're studying His Word and getting into the Word. What, letting God speak to us. Draw near to God. You know, it says resist the devil and he'll flee from you, but some people want to play with the devil or become friendly terms with him or become pals with him. It's dangerous. It leads to destruction to become pals with the devil or to fellowship with him. The right thing to do, what the Master wants, what pleases Christ and honors Christ, is to resist the devil. Resist the devil. Submit to God. Draw near to Him. Church is the place, other than home, that we are most likely to draw near to God. It's not likely to happen in the shopping center. It's not likely to happen Saturday night in the mall. It's not likely to happen in a parking lot. We used to hang out in parking lots of nightclubs or hamburger joints. It's not likely to happen there. It can. But you know, I don't remember drawing near to God in the parking lot of the coffee cup. Did any of you, when you were hanging out there, at your coffee cup, whatever it was called, I saw some women get into the fight. I saw a lot of cursing, saw a lot of flirting. Heard a lot of cursing, saw a lot of flirting. Tried to do a little of it myself and didn't know how. Even got a friend that really knew how to attract the girls, and he could just, you know, attract them, and went with him a few times, and still it didn't catch with me. Didn't have that special gift or that special curse, however you look at it, okay. You can meet God in the parking lot after 2 o'clock in the morning, but it's not likely hanging out there you're going to meet Him, right? Or be near to Him. Not likely. My stepdad said, what do y'all do? He knew what we did because he'd been there himself. I said, what do y'all do after midnight? Well, just hang out. Just hang out, but it certainly wasn't anything very positive about it. Might not have been bad. You know, we might have been clean and decent, but if we had opportunity, we was going to get in something. We're not going to draw near to God there. The best place, the best opportunity we have to draw near to God is at the church and at our home. Hopefully at our home. We can be sure that the devil will entice us. Draw near. Draw near more often than when you go to weddings. Come to church more often than when you go to weddings or funerals, especially if it's your own funeral or other times of trouble. That's what the Master wants. That's what pleases Jesus the Christ. And then number 3, encourage one another. If the church could ever learn to encourage one another. Encourage one another. Encourage one another. I can't say it too many times. Are you an encourager? Or are you a discourager? We're called. We're called by God Himself to encourage one another. As He spoke to the writer of Hebrews is one place.
And the writer of Hebrews wrote it down for us as a message from God. The Bible is the inspired Word of God, is it not? So if you want to know what God wants, what pleases Him, go to the Bible and find out. And this is one of the things that we're told to do. Encourage one another. Be an encourager. Encourage one another. That's what we're called to be. We're called to be encouragers. We're called to do. What are we called to do? We're called to encourage one another. Our youth need encouragement. Our missions team need encouragement. Our missions teams. Talk a minute for a missions team. It may not be our passion to be a mission worker. We may not be called to that particular work, but we can pray for the mission team. Paul said, I plant, Apollos waters, but God gives the increase. We don't have to be gung-ho like Sam is for mission work, but we can encourage Sam in his mission work. I don't want to go to Guatemala, but I can certainly be pleased that I know somebody who does. I don't want to go to South America, but I'm certainly pleased that I know somebody who does. I don't want to go to Japan or China, but I know some people who do. I guess I paid out big bucks to make sure that Liz got to go. I haven't seen much return there, my Liz. Can encourage them. Our outreach committee. Our outreach committee is planning an event for the 23rd of September, and I'm going to be there cheering them on. They're working so hard to get ready. Go to, I think, one of the Sunday schools. What's the name of your class, Susan? Your Sunday school class is full of stuff. Packed full of stuff for the fair. Missions Fair, I guess. The Bazaar Committee. Bazaar Committee is meeting Wednesday. Get ready for the bazaar. And we work together. Both of them are important. One, helping people outside the church. Not sure what they're doing with the money this year from the Outreach Committee outreach, but last year they helped with 5 operations for children that needed a face fixed, born with facial deformities. Did I get that right? 5 operations? Somewhere I heard that this week. Bazaar Committee, that money goes to pay for that building where that space used to separate the buildings. Both need encouragement. Both of them wonderful ministries. I'm really enjoying that new addition too. Aren't you? It's cool. My orderly office. Boy, I'm enjoying it so much. Tongue in cheek. Okay. We're not in competition. 2 groups are not in competition. Both are for the Lord. MDO starts up in a week and 2 days. We got a lot of work to do. Finish a bookcase, finish a bathroom, finish the tile, new sink. Well, we got work on the playground yesterday. A lot of that work done, not all of it. They need encouragement. The choir. Need some people to come join the choir at the 10:15 service, if you will. It was pretty pitiful last week in number. They sounded good, but the number was small. Our decorator. Encourage the decorator. Mary Beth's been decorating our lobby and done such a beautiful job. And she come by and said, boy, that looks good, that looks good, that looks good. It looks warm. It looks inviting. And I drive by at night, I'll be down here for something, and I'll drive through the parking lot and just look in. And I say, people ought to feel invited to that vestibule, narthex, lobby, whatever you want to call it. And then I'll drive down and turn around and come back and do it again. A little crazy. See, I used to drive by and on Nolensville Road and look at this building. It wasn't even here, big open space. Or I'd walk out down in out here somewhere, maybe where this was, and I looked and I could see this building, vision it. Yeah. So encourage one another. The musicians. Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Savannah. Thinking, you know, I know why Saul needed somebody to come play the harp for him, and David to come to play the harp. That harp is so soothing. So soothing. And also, the rest of the music is, but I thought of that this morning. Found song, clapping hands. Y'all were clapping hands, but then you quit. And see, when I clap, it kind of sounds like that. I went to church down Ebenezer, and when they clap, I can't make it do like that. But it was, I don't even have rhythm or good sound in my hand clapping. Somebody can do it. Keep on clapping if you feel like it. Did you clap, Mr. Thompson? A little bit. Okay, yeah. Some people can clap better than others can. But they, those folks got the clapping, and my clapping kind of sounds flat. Dull. And I thought, man, I can't even clap good like they do. The teachers, Sunday school teachers, need encouragement. The preacher needs encouragement, folks. Come on. Thank you. That's what the Master wants. That's what pleases Jesus Christ, when we encourage one another. And then number four is spur one another on to love and to good works. And that's what encouragement does. When we encourage one another, it spurs us on to love and to good works. It spurs us on to do greater things. I've got a story. You may have heard it. Some of you have, but some of you haven't. And I want to tell this story and stop right there. I mean, you might stop.
We were little Reds. We were in Everett, Arkansas, and Carol had a portable sewing machine. And I went out and bought a cabinet for a sewing machine. It had nothing in it, just the cabinet for the sewing machine. And I took that thing home and I said, I can put this portable sewing machine in this cabinet and my wife will have a cabinet sewing machine. And it was all fixed up like that. When I set it in there, it didn't fit. You know, it wasn't the same kind of machine. So I had a handsaw that I think Carol's dad had given me. And I had some pine wood. And you know the cabinet wasn't made out of pine wood. But anyhow, I got that handsaw out and got the end of it. And he had worn it down to almost like a little coping saw or something. Wasn't that small, but it was small. So I got out there and I worked and I worked and I worked and I sawed and I sawed and I nailed together or screwed together and got it where it would just fit that little the sewing machine base would fit into that cabinet. And Carol walked out and she said, and this is still touching, she says, you know, Larry, you can do about anything you want to, can't you? Well, that day I would have jumped over the house. Wow! What encouragement! What a wife I married. Y'all know her too, though. Wow! Have you spurred someone on this week or this month? Folks, these are instructions for Christians. For Christians. They're instructions for everybody, but they mean something to Christians. But we want to please the Master, don't we? Let's stand together and is it 5:25 and let's sing. And if you're not a Christian and want to be a Christian, where these will really make sense to you, you're invited to come forward and express your faith in Jesus. You don't have to do that to become a Christian. You need to trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But if you want to come forward, we invite you, we encourage you to do that. As we sing, is it 525? 375. 375, I'm sorry. 375. Jesus calls us. That's right. Thank you.
had that idea.